find that balance where you're not just protecting the ball at the cost of maybe explosive play.
Yeah, that's a really important. But all those factors go into it, right? If you're looking at a queue and say they had 9 interceptions and 7 of them were at the end of a half at Hail Mary, like you just looked at the ratio and said it was 2-1, right? 18-9 or something like that. But let's evaluate the why or the how. I think that's what you get into. And then as you start to connect to the concepts and connect to the scheme and what your approach is and why you're trying to do what you're going to do, you start paying attention to the defense. And so now you say, okay, I know the way this hook defender is going to react, so I'm going to be aggressive to this throw. But when you're in those unknown worlds and you're thrown with kind of like uncertainty, those are the ones that you can't have. And so I think as everyone starts learning the system and learning what we're trying to accomplish with each and every play, then that's how you become more aggressive and more confident in what you're going to do. And then that's also leaning on your teammate, too, and trusting that they know what they're doing and why they're doing what they're doing as well.
Sure, you've taken that deep dive into Aiden now in the last few months since taking this job. What is your evaluation of Aiden coming off that rookie season?
Yeah, no, I mean, to him to get thrown into the way he got thrown into and to see the adversity, I mean, I think it was like a 0. They didn't score, and then they go score all those points. I mean, that's a really cool reflection of the type of kid that he is and the approach that he brings. I mean, there's one thing that I would definitely pat him on the back for at this point is just the willingness to be taught and willingness to be vulnerable in this opportunity to get better. I mean, it's really cool to see a guy who's had success now really excited to learn some new stuff.
I know it's early in the process, but what have you thought about the running back room led by Zamir White?
Yeah, I think it's a really cool group. I think you have guys kind of have different backgrounds, different styles. But like I say all the time, I think I've said this too many times in my career, this isn't the time of the year for backs, right? Backs got put pads on, and then that's really when you find out. And so, yeah, it's fun to see them, and they're fast, and they look the part, and they're getting better out there, all their assignments. But we know that those types of players, when they get the pads on in training camp, that's when you really start to find out how much you really like that group. But, I mean, they're a really good group of guys. They work hard. They work together. They're competitive with each other. And then, like I said, there's explosiveness in the group. There's pass catching in the group. There's toughness in the group. So there's a really cool blend of guys in that room.
Coming in as a new offensive coordinator, how important is it to get some of these veteran guys here for the non-mandatory OTAs to try and get as much installed as you can now?
Yeah, I think that's it's important to lay a foundation. And that's really, like I said, if we can establish our style and the brotherhood that we have in that room, we're gonna be just fine. And the schematic part of it is the second element of it, right? Guys got to be comfortable being able to react to things that happen. Because the reality of it is we prepare them and we say it's going to look like this and we call it for this, but there's often something that's slightly different. And those repetitions that you get with one another, that's how you become elite.
Hey, Lucas, Tashawn Reed from The Athletic. It seems like you guys have a few different players on offense that can line up in multiple spots, whether it's Devontae or Brock Bowers or Michael Mayer. As offensive coordinator, how much flexibility does that give you to kind of get creative and switch around your alignment in the pass game to try to take advantage of the matchups?
Yeah, that's huge, right? Because if you, again, just looking across the league from a defensive perspective, everybody's trying to do that on defense too. They want the DN that can rush and cover. They want the linebacker that can rush and cover. They want the nickel that can fit a B-gap and guard a slot. Right, so everyone's trying to find that, and same thing on offense. We're doing the same thing, and the more flexibility you have with a player, that gives you more opportunity to do a bunch of different things. And then the second part of what you said is that the more people that you can have that can do those things, that's when your offense can get really good. That's when you have three different guys that can run one route or three different guys that can do one type of concept. Now you're putting fear in a defense in a completely different way.
That's it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Offensive coordinator Luke Getsy here on Raider Nation Radio as he speaks about, so many different things, especially installing a new offense, having the veterans there, but also working with, a wide receiver group, as he talked about then at the end there, trying to find the flexibility of guys that can go and do different things. And you can see it how last year, they had a lot of wide receivers that were, that were just not used enough. They were definitely in position, but you know, because if you have a such turnover at head coach and then offensive coordinator, and you're starting anew with a younger guy, and you kind of got to like drift away from the old playbook into something that's more manageable. Yeah, you're going to have times where you're not going to be able to, you know, willingly to, you know, go after downfield mismatches with Devontae or Jacoby Myers or even Michael Mayer. There were times where you felt like there was so much left on the field of what that offense could be. And at the same time, I like the question from Q talking about, you know, the running back room. And, you know, Getsy smiled. He's like, we got a lot of different styles and they're all tough, but, you know, some are good at this. Some are good at pass catching. Some are just good power runs. But, you know, we'll find out more when you're able to start putting the pads on in, you know, late July of what kind of running back room this really is. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Set to speak is Raiders special teams coordinator Tom McMahon. And he'll talk about, you know, not only where the schemes are and the rules that are different, all that and more, and the personnel that'll be a part of it here on Raider Nation Radio. It's the Morning Tailgate.
It's the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. The countdown has begun. Preseason action starts for the Raiders on the road as they take on Minnesota August 10th before playing their final two preseason games at home hosting Dallas and San Francisco. Then the real fun begins on September 9th as the Silver and Black will be in LA to take on the Chargers with another road game the following week in Baltimore before opening up at home on September 22nd against Carolina. All games can be heard on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. The men's NCAA lacrosse semifinals Saturday at 9 and the championship game Monday at 10 in the morning on 1230 The Game. Brought to you by Paul Pata Law. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Modelo is an official cerveza of the Las Vegas Raiders and the JT the Brick Show. Modelo Especial is a rich, full-flavored Pilsner-style lager, delivering a crisp, refreshing taste, brewed with fighting spirit since 1925.
PT's Taverns is helping you chill with a mini fridge winner at every tavern this May. Stop in to any tavern to earn your entry for every purchase of a Heineken. Plus, enjoy food and beverage specials from $5. Don't miss Vegas's best happy hour with 50% off drinks, 5 to 7 p.m. and 12 to 2 a.m. daily. With over 65 taverns, there is always a location near you. To find yours, visit ptstaverns.com. That's ptstaverns.com today.
Longtime Finlay service manager Tony Smith is now the new general manager at Finlay Kia, and he has a special message. Save big and get low 1.9% APR financing for 48 months on a new 2024 Kia Sorento. Stop in today, test drive an incredible new Kia Sorento, and meet the new Finlay team. Career opportunities available. Offer on approved credit. Offer valid through July 8th, 2024. Financing through KFA. $22 per $1,000 finance.
Hello, attorney Xenophon Peters and Judah Zakalik here from Panda Law Firm.
Look, we know that nobody wants to talk about their debt or admit they have a debt problem.
Sometimes it's tough asking for help when we need it.
When you do work up the courage to make that call, be sure you're talking to someone you trust. At Panda Law Firm, new clients always meet with a licensed local Las Vegas attorney.
When you pick up the phone for help with your debt, be sure you're calling Panda Law Firm, voted Best of Las Vegas Gold for the third year in a row.
Call Panda Law, 702-818-3888.
Raider Nation, what is up? It's your boy Q, and I want to remind you of all the multiple ways that you can listen to the radio station all over the world. Download the Raiders mobile app, open it up, and click on radio. It's that simple. Or, if you're on the TuneIn app, you can check out Raider Nation Radio 920. Just search it. Take Raider Nation Radio wherever you are, wherever you live, all over the world. By way of the Raiders mobile app, click on radio, or TuneIn Radio, search Raider Nation Radio 920.
More Silver and Black talk on the Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Vinny Bonsignor.
Partying on the mothership, I am the mothership connection. Getting down in 3D.
One of the attributes you mentioned when you were talking about quarterback play was protecting the ball. I guess both from your philosophy and just your evaluation process of a quarterback, how do you balance protecting the ball with remaining aggressive and trying to find that balance where you're not just protecting the ball at the cost of maybe explosive play?
Yeah, that's a really important. But all those factors go into it, right? If you're looking at a cue and then and say they had 9 interceptions and 7 of them were at the end of a half at Hail Mary, like, you just looked at the ratio and said it was 2-1, right? 18-9 or something like that. But let's evaluate the why or the how. I think that's what you get into. And then as you start to connect to the concepts and connect to the scheme and what your approach is and why you're trying to do what you're going to do, you start paying attention to the defense. And so now you say, okay, I know the way this hook defender is going to react, so I'm going to be aggressive to this throw. But when you're in those unknown worlds and you're thrown with kind of like uncertainty, that's when those are the ones that you can't have. And so I think as everyone starts learning the system and learning what we're trying to accomplish with each and every play, then that's how you become more aggressive and more confident in what you're going to do. And then that's also leaning on your teammate, too, and trusting that they know what they're doing and why they're doing what they're doing as well.
You've taken that deep dive into Aiden now in the last few months since taking this job. What is your evaluation of Aiden coming off that rookie season?
Yeah, no, I mean, to him to get thrown into the way he got thrown into and to see the, you know, the adversity, I mean, I think it was like a 0. They didn't score, and then they go score all those points. I mean, that's a really cool reflection of the type of kid that he is and the approach that he brings. I mean, there's one thing that I would definitely pat him on the back for at this point is just the willingness to be taught and willingness to be vulnerable in this opportunity to get better. I mean, it's really cool to see a guy who's had success now really excited to learn some new stuff.
Raiders offensive coordinator Luke Getsy today at Raiders HQ. We're back here on the morning tailgate. Thanks for being with us here on this Tuesday as we'll go next to Tom McMahon, special teams coordinator, who really is just really shined in that role as he did with Denver. And now when he's with the Raiders, he really has a great core group of guys who last year really did amazing things on the fielding. Coach McMahon up to the podium right now at Raiders HQ for his presser during this portion of the OTAs.
The kickoff became official. I guess what was kind of your initial reaction to it, and how is that revamped your overall strategy to teaching the play coming in?
Excitement, number one. Very excited. The players are excited. If you think about it, last year in Super Bowl, I'll just use that as an example, 13 touchbacks. Now it's going to be 13 balls that are returned. So returners are excited. Their value is going to skyrocket. So, for example, you're a kick returner. We can put 2 back there, but let's just make it easy math because it's easier for me. If you have 1 back there and you kick off, and you get 80 kickoffs, that guy's going to touch the ball 80 times possibly next year. And he's guaranteed that. Where, before it's only your best receiver or your halfbacks that are guaranteed touches. This guy's going to get 80, where last year we got 11. So the value skyrockets. The value skyrockets for the position players because now they're covering every rep. So the leading tackler in the league is going to probably go back to the early 2000s, 36 tackles on special teams, whereas it was only 16 tackles this last year. So their value goes way up. As coaches, naturally we want to play every play. So there's going to be 10 plays a game, 5 kickoffs, 5 kickoff returns that are added into what we're grading, what we actually have to play. We can't have the out of kicking the touchback anymore. Or you're going to get the ball at the 30 and you're going to give a big drive start. So we love that part of it, because now we're going to cover every rep. We get a chance to return every rep and got to shed, block, tackle, and teach.
Tom, you're in a kind of a unique situation as a special teams coordinator. I don't know if there's a comparison to that, but you have to figure out how to advance it as a return team, but then also cover it as a coverage team. So you have to figure both sides out of it. Can that help, from seeing it from one vantage point, help from the other vantage point and vice versa?
There's no question. What we've tried to do is, really this last week with, and even in the first 2 weeks of the off-season program, let Daniel try to beat our returners. And when I say that, he's trying to put balls on the ground or he's trying to put balls in the air. And really, you're just playing in a 20-yard rectangle. So if he can hit the 19-yard line one play and then the 1-yard line the next, you got returners and they don't know where it's going to go. And we can go when the ball hits the ground. So the difference between the XFL and our model is we can go when the ball hits the ground and we're back at the 40. That's your advantage on kickoff. The kicker becomes more valuable also. Because now if he can put the ball at the 2 edges of the rectangle, you got a chance to get much, much better. And we've learned a lot from our returners. Because our returners all of a sudden are beating him. And then the next day he beats them. So we are finding out where to align these guys to get to the edges of the field, talk coming back to the middle, and so on and so forth.
That's Tom McMahon, Raiders special teams coordinator here on Raider Nation Radio, speaking live from Raiders HQ. We'll come back with more of the sound on that throughout the day on JT the Brick Show and Q Myers And joining us now is Vinny Bonsignor, live from HQ. And Vinny, you know, when you think about how good special teams were for last year for the Raiders and for a team that was number one in average drive starts, where they were pinning the opponent back on their own 26 and about 26.2 on their yard line. That's tops in the league. That's how good they were on special teams for the defense to then really hone in, and only 12th in the league on kick returns on offense. But this time it sounds like Tom McMahon very excited about how kick returners will really be able to eat up this time around instead of having to take so many touchbacks as they did, as he alluded to, in the Super Bowl 13.
Well, whatever you saw last year, just forget. It's a completely different planet. We're going from planet, you know, from Venus to Mars, literally. It's a whole new world when it comes to the kickoff return and kickoff coverage. So there's really no precedent. There's no example. There's no reference point. There's nothing really to look at. Yes, a little bit you could look at the USFL, you know, that has a similar model, but there's enough differences between theirs and the NFL's that it makes it that, you know, extremely different as well. So I don't think you're going to, there's no more kicking it out of the end zone. That's just not going to happen, because you don't want to give the team a starting point at the 30-yard line. There's statistics that show how many more touchdowns and points are scored when a team starts at the 30 compared to the 20 or the 25 or the 15 or the 18. So the goal is to never let a team start a drive at the 30-yard line. It's to stop them before they get to that point. And you're going to see a whole bunch of different schematic things to do it from a kicking standpoint to make sure that doesn't happen. Squibbing it, line driving it, kicking it in a line driveway that bounces or that settles. So again, whatever you saw last year or years before, just forget it. Get it out of your memory bank, because that those days no longer exist.
No, it's going to be very exciting to actually see the nuances and to think that not much has changed over the years as far as the kicking game has been concerned. But now you get this new advent of a rule change, and it's going to be chaos for some teams who aren't prepared. But you know, a good thing about the Raiders is that having somebody like Daniel Carlson, who's very accurate and somebody who is always constantly working on his game, not unlike AJ Cole at punting it. Like they are, at least you have guys that under contract for a while and have been working under McMahon, that they are not only able to like go and consistently change their game and improve their game, but also learning the new system won't be something that will be very difficult for them, because they're constantly challenging themselves.
Yeah, and everybody that's kicking at the NFL level is really good at what they do, and we see a glimpse of what they normally do because of the rules, and I would contend that the kickoff rule has changed a lot over the years. That's why they've made the changes now, because they changed it so much that we had a situation like last year where rarely were teams allowing other teams to return it. They were just kicking it out of the end zone because, you know, they understood that the starting point, you know, by doing it that way was more advantageous for the coverage team than it was the return team. So they've changed and tinkered and, you know, over the years made massive changes, quite honestly, to the point where it eliminated it. We really didn't see the kickoff as a play, whether it was from a coverage standpoint or a return standpoint. It's just a guy was able to kick it out of the end zone, and you might as well have just been starting it at the 25-yard line every time, because that's really what was happening. Now you're going to get a ton of returns, and it's on the kickoff team. Guys like Daniel Carlson and every kicker in the NFL can kick every ball. They can kick it high. They can kick it low. They can squib it. They can line drive it. They could place it. You know, these guys are extremely talented at what they do. And no doubt Daniel Carlson, because he is such a skilled kicker, is going to allow the Raiders to be as creative as they want to be in that regard. A lot of teams are going to be in that same exact situation because these guys are so good. But it will be interesting to see what the point counterpoints are going to be. And talking to Tom, it's going to be an ongoing situation. It might end up going to the last play of the Super Bowl on a kickoff. And how do we handle this, or how do we return it, or how do we kick it, is all going to come into play on that one play, as opposed to how it's been now for a few years where it was just non-existent.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the other side. It's Raider Nation Radio, live from Raiders HQ for the portion of the OTAs open this week available for media. It's Raider Nation Radio.
There's plenty of fun out there. Find yours with Taos. This month at Findlay Volkswagen Henderson, all new 2024 Taos models are eligible for 0% APR for 60 months or $1,500 customer bonus. Comfortable inside, confident outside, and with tech at your fingertips, Taos is designed to make your daily drive a joy. Hop in. It's a Volkswagen. Check us out online at FinleyVW.com.
For highly qualified customers through Volkswagen Credit, see dealer for complete details. Offer ends 7/1/2024.
Finley Volkswagen.
It's Ash from Sam & Ash Injury Law. At Sam & Ash, we don't just handle cases. We take care of people. Sam and I started this law firm to provide injury victims with unmatched customer service. We keep our clients informed as we walk them through the legal process with patience and clear communication. So if you've been hurt in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-820-1234, or visit samandashlaw.com. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right.
Great cities are built on strong foundations. The skilled members of Laborers Local 872 never stop building. From the asphalt on our roads, the concrete in our buildings, the solar fields powering the economy, and everything in between to work safely. Laborers Local 872 is modernizing the Nevada workforce and building a global city. The future is union strong.
Now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Running a business gets more complicated every year, so you need a trusted advisor in your corner, especially when it comes to your workers' comp program. Pro Group Management has been helping Nevada's self-insured businesses for over 20 years. Whether your business is retail, trucking, building, agriculture, or auto, our team has the expertise to make sure your coverage meets your needs. And at a price that fits your budget. Our award-winning team keeps track of all the important regulatory issues that impact your business. We help with safety, compliance, and inspections, because that's what you should expect from a trusted business partner. Find out how to have Pro Group Management work for you. Visit our website at pgmnv.com to receive a free cost savings analysis now. That's pgmnv.com, or call our Las Vegas office at 702-740-4380. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hey, Jeff. How's the new job working out?
Really sucks. Terrible boss and the paycheck is even worse. I gotta get a new job.
Truck you.
Wait, what?
Truck you.
You don't have to curse at me.
Dude, you should check out Truck You CDL training. My brother got his CDL license in 4 weeks and now he has a new career making great money.
Okay, I'm listening.
Truck You offers small classes with night and weekend times available. They will even help with payment programs. Check them out. Truck, the letter U, LV.com. Truck You.
Get baked, get sauced, get rocked. The all-new River Rock Pizza and Pasta at Arizona Charlie's Decatur is serving up some of the best specialty pizzas and classic pasta dishes this side of Vegas. With braised short ribs, lasagna, chicken parmesan, and more, our classic rock-inspired restaurant will have you dancing in your seat. River Rock Pizza and Pasta at Arizona Charlie's Decatur is available for dining in or to go. Only at
Arizona Charlie's Casino.
Copiers, printers, service, and supplies are just the beginning. Les Olson IT is the premier source for your business's structured cabling, IT, software, telephones, and security systems. We partner with you to find the ideal solution to all of your office technology needs. Tell us your goals and we'll get you there. Find out more at lesolson.com.
Les Olson IT.
GiveMeTheVIN.com is America's best car buyer, paying top dollar for your car, truck, sports car, exotic. What are you waiting for? We want to buy your car right now. Find out why thousands of satisfied customers across the United States put more money in their pocket by going to GiveMeTheVIN.com. I told my buyers, let's get them bought. Right now is the time to go.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your eyes.
Scotty Davidson here from BetMoneyHoney.com. Would you like to become an educated sports fan that also knows how to place a bet? How about a library of how games are played, how to make bets, and hot picks of the day? Join me at BetMoneyHoney.com.
Backing down has never been an option for our family.
Our father battled communism in Cuba before coming to the U.S. and studying law at night. Today, we proudly carry on that Castro Verde family legacy.
As brothers raised to fight for what's right, care for those in need, treat clients like family, we bring the very best legal team to fight for you.
It's our heritage. It's the Castro Verde way.
We're the Castro Verde brothers.
And we have your back.
Brotherswin.com.
Modelo is an official cerveza of the Las Vegas Raiders and the JT the Brick Show. Modelo Especial is a rich, full-flavored Pilsner-style lager, delivering a crisp, refreshing taste, brewed with fighting spirit since 1925.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Just a minute until we take a break for Rich Eisen here at the top of the hour. Great stuff all day on the text line. We appreciate the participation at 702-365-9200. You can catch all our podcasts up online on our page at lvsportsnetwork.com, as well as Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Lastly, from Rob in Oakland, he says, I think our defensive instability has hurt because we can easily build on successes and fix the failures in successive games against Kansas City. You know, not to mention having a critical threshold of defenders that get sick of losing to Mahomes and Kelsey and want to bury them in the field. Or is that just me? Rob in Oakland. It's both. Rob, appreciate the thoughts. Coming up next, it's Rich Eisen, then JT the Brick Show and Q Myers. It's Raider Nation Radio.
For over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have provided consumers with quick access to lenders. And all credit types are welcome. Now, cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Got bills today? Get cash tomorrow. Visit LendingStore.com. Get the cash you need now. So visit LendingStore.com today for details.
See website for details. LendingStore is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old, not available in all states.
You're pregnant, and no matter what you do, no matter what you try, you can't stop using alcohol, drugs, or tobacco. But no matter how lost you are, how far along you are, it's not too late. There's always hope, and there are many safe places that can help you stop using. In Nevada, pregnant women are given the highest priority for substance use treatment. Low-cost treatment options may be available so you and your baby can get healthy now. If you or someone you love is pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant and using alcohol, drugs, or tobacco, visit SoberMomsHealthyBabies.org. Or call 211 to find help today. SoberMomsHealthyBabies.org also has resources for healthcare providers, friends, and family. If you want to help someone who's pregnant and using, visit SoberMomsHealthyBabies.org or call 211 today. Sponsored by the Nevada Division of Public and Behavioral Health and in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
This Lotus Cares message is brought to you by Lerner & Rowe Personal Injury Law Firm. May is Skin Cancer Awareness Month. Exposure to ultraviolet light can be harmful to your skin, so protect yourself in the sun with a sunscreen that has at least a 30 SPF. And don't forget your sunglasses and hats. For more info, check out cancer.org. This Lotus Cares message is brought to you by Lerner & Rowe, voted Best Personal Injury Law Firm. Call 702-877-1500.
Come see why thousands have made the switch to Findlay Chevrolet. 215 at South Rainbow. Find new roads.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Findlay Chevy is a place to buy.
Home of the... Findlay Chevrolet has new extended weekday service, parts, and sales hours from 7 a.m. until 9 p.m.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Findlay Chevy is a place to buy.
Home of the...
The best place to watch any big game is Doghouse Saloon at Resorts World Las Vegas. Doghouse has the best views to watch the action, a sportsbook on site to place your bets, incredible food and drink specials, and an amazing after party with live music, entertainment, dancing, and dueling pianos. Also inside Doghouse is Mouse House, a dining truck serving specialty grilled cheeses. The JT the Brick Show is a proud partner of the Doghouse Saloon at Resorts World Las Vegas.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The 2024 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. It will take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The 2024 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Come to Findlay Subaru of Las Vegas and get as low as 1.9% APR financing on select new 2024 Subaru Outback models. SubaruofLasVegas.com.
Triple savings do not include attorney's fees.
Call Pendlaw 702-818-3888.
Do you have $10,000 or more in debt? Are you planning on using your tax refund to pay down your balances? Did you know that Panda Law can triple the amount you pay off with our debt settlement program?
Hi, we're the attorneys from Panda Law. If you're planning on paying down debt with your tax refund, call us first to learn how we can maximize the amount you pay off or even get you out of debt entirely.
Call Panda Law 702-818-3888.
Here's an example. If you're getting $3,500 back from the IRS, you can get rid of more than $10,000 of debt by exercising your right to have an attorney settle that debt for you.
If you have debt and want to know how much you can eliminate with your tax return, call Panda Law for a free debt analysis.
Start the year off right. Get out of debt. Call Panda.
Call Panda Law 702-818-3888.
Turkey, bacon, avocado. Need we say more? Portisub's Turkey Bacon Avocado Sub will be your new obsession with its next level flavor. Sliced fresh turkey with crisp bacon and creamy avocado on fresh baked bread. Get your TBA at Portisub's today. Order online at portisubs.com.
McFadden-Dale Industrial Hardware is your one-stop place to shop with everything you need for your next project. Catering to plumbers, HVAC, and construction workers, they open early so you can pick up what you need before the job. McFadden-Dale Industrial Hardware on South Decatur between Trop and Russell.
Your Afternoon Raiders Fix with your boy Q on Unnecessary Roughness from 2 to 5 on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM KRLV Las Vegas.
Still to come, senior NBA writer for The Ringer, Howard Beck, NFL Network reporter Stacey Dales, and now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Well, hey everybody, Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen while he's taking a well-deserved break, and well-deserved, I really believe, one, just missed a hole-in-one by this much. And by the way, for a guy who doesn't play golf very much at all, it's kind of like the way he runs the 40-yard dash, he doesn't really warm up. He doesn't really practice. Drives me slightly insane. Hi, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
It's the second time you've said that. Do we have some type of visual?
I have proof? A picture. I just have to get it to Mike Hoskins and remember to do that in between.
I can take a picture and say I have a hole in one. I don't know. I need something more than just
like
work.
What's more photoshopped, Rich? This alleged golf photo or Joe Burrow's hair?
Wow. Be more bitter about it, and we will actually look at Joe Burrow's hair and try it on you shortly, maybe in the third hour.
Like, Broadwin had a CGI video of him on his Instagram of him golfing. Yeah. Like, it wasn't real.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I think this is
and you're supposed to say, missed it by that much.
I missed by that much. This is real and it's spectacular.
Hey,
Chris.
Hey.
Hi, Mikey. How are you?
Hey, Sus.
And hi to my friend Howard Beck, with whom I covered the Lakers back to back to back. I spent more time with you, easy guys, than I did with Rich for many, many years. Calm down, all of you. This is a family program. Thank you very much. Yeah, Howard and I literally, we flew on planes together. We sat there and we did the dance. No, he never drove with me. Okay. You never drove with me, did you, Howard?
I don't think so. No, you probably had some fancy limo service. That
There we go, Howard.
You know what? I really did because Fox Sports Net really loved paying the big bucks for all the fancy bells and whistles. I did have at one point a Saab 900 turbo convertible, and I remember coming out of practice one day and Shaq saw the car and he tried to get in it and he couldn't sit in the front seat. He's like, "Well, if I had this car, I would take out the seat." I was like, please don't ruin my car. Hi, Howard. Good to have you here.
Susie, great to see you again. Good to be here.
Always fun to start an interview with you this way. All right, here's the question we have today. With all the ascending stars in the NBA, do you have to win a championship to be crowned a superstar?
I'm going to say no. I'm not in the rings, ZZZZ rings culture. Sect. I don't really believe in that. We have seen plenty of superstars over the decades who are all-time greats, and we all know they're all-time greats, and we all know that under different circumstances, especially if they didn't, weren't blocked by Michael Jordan maybe in the 90s, or blocked by Tim Duncan for parts of the 2000s, or Shaq and Kobe, or now blocked by LeBron and Steph Curry, there are other guys who could have broken through. So I don't hold that as some like absolute standard, but it's interesting because we are in this moment where, you know, Steph Curry and LeBron, who have been the standard bearers in the face of the league, that kind of mythical title that we love to use, they're nearing their horizons, whenever those may be. And so we're looking to Anthony Edwards, and we're looking to Luka Doncic, and we're looking at Jason Tatum, and, you know, let's even throw Tyrese Halliburton in there because, hey, he's got his team in the conference finals. We are looking around and saying who's next, and you don't have to win a championship right off the bat to clinch that status. You need to be an absolute stud athletically, of course. You need to win a lot of games. You need to be in a lot of postseasons. You need to have moments. It helps if you have a lot of charisma, as some of them do. But the rings part of it, I feel like it's more part of the legacy discussion, Hall of Fame discussion. But it's, again, I don't think you have to have it to clinch that status as one of the faces of the league. But there's certainly an opportunity for some of the young players I just mentioned to go ahead and grab that in the next few weeks, which certainly helps the cause.
I mean, we've had a great time watching the comedic stylings of Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns after their win. But as we look ahead at this series, how competitive can they be against Dallas? How do you like this one?
It's a really fascinating series, right? Because the Timberwolves haven't been this far in 20 years, and the current stars were, you know, probably in the proverbial diapers at the time, or not very far beyond that, if anything. And the Mavericks, you know, they made a conference finals a couple years ago against the Warriors. I don't think anybody thought they were really ready to break through then. They might be ready to break through now. But this is one of those series where you look at it and you could talk yourself, you know, in circles as to who should be the favorite or how long this is going to go. This is an opportunity for Luka in particular, right? He finished third in the MVP voting. He's been a perennial MVP candidate for the last several years. And he's got a phenomenal co-star now in Kyrie Irving, who a lot of us, certainly I, was skeptical that that pairing was going to work, and it's worked fabulously. That's an incredible and very lethal 1-2 punch. They've got some great role players and defenders around them. So that all said, the Mavericks are more, they're a little younger in their process, right? Like Kyrie just got there, you know, 14 months ago or whatever it was. This is their first full season together. Derek Lively, their starting center, is a rookie. Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, who we've all raved about how great a contribution they've made since the trade deadline, got there at the trade deadline. So they're still a little new. The Wolves, on the other hand, this is two full seasons now with Rudy Gobert. This is multiple seasons with Towns and Anthony Edwards. That core has been together for a bit. Their coach has been there. Everybody's been in place. If I have to pick, and I hate picking, I lean toward the Wolves in this series only because I think there's a little more continuity and just time together. The chemistry is established, but also they've got size, right? Like that Towns-Gobert front court is a beast. Just ask Nikola Jokic, who just had to wave goodbye a couple days ago. And I do think it's going to be really interesting to see Lively and Gafford, who have just feasted at the rim off of Luka lobs in particular. Are they going to get those same opportunities when you've got 2 7-footers, you know, standing around the paint?
Yeah, and Jaden McDaniels, and Carl Anthony Towns, and Naz Reid. I mean, you're seeing that when Anthony Edwards talked about that. When he had a slow game offensively, he could trust his players around him to pick up where he left off. I mean, we saw that happen effectively. So if we take that into consideration, how do you like their game versus the Dallas game?
I think the first thing I'm really interested to see is, I assume it's going to be Jaden McDaniels on Luka, but it's probably going to have to be a lot of people on Luka. Anthony Edwards, in the wake of that Game 7 win, was already talking about, and I love hearing this from a young star, right, who's like, here's this guy, he's got all this game, all these skills. Anthony Edwards is, you know, going to throw 20, 25, 30 points on the board, and in creative ways. He's explosive, he's skilled, he's got great footwork. But the first thing he's telling I think it was the TNT crew on Sunday in the wake of that win was, and Kyrie's my assignment.
That's it.
I can't wait to go check Kyrie. And he boasted about locking down Jamal Murray in the second half of Game 7. That's just awesome when you hear a young player just really enthused about the defensive assignment. And I think Anthony Edwards, he's a great defender. If he can lock up Kyrie and the Wolves can muster enough defense to throw at Luka, you know, it's going to be a really tough uphill battle for the Mavericks, right? Because all of their scoring is generated by those two stars. And the Timberwolves were, I think, number one or number two in defense all year. And they have the personnel to stymie just about anybody. Again, ask the Denver Nuggets, the defending champs. And so this is going to be a really tough test for the Mavericks, but I don't rule them out.
And it's funny, I just looked it up. Kyrie's 32, Anthony Edwards is 22. So he definitely grew up watching him and thinking to himself, he must have imagined like he's boxing with himself, trying to think about who he's going to match up against. And then it's probably Kyrie back then, and it's Kyrie right now. You know, we talked to Christopher Russo in the first hour about Kyrie and who he's become here in Dallas. What do you think of this metamorphosis of Kyrie Irving as he continually seems to reinvent himself?
It's really fascinating, Susie, because at the time that Kyrie forced his way out of Cleveland, I just, like, my jaw dropped. Like, we were already firmly into this era of superstar empowerment and guys moving around more than we'd ever seen before, and I understood it and I support it, but I'd never seen a player decide, I don't want to be with the defining player of my generation who I've gone to three finals and won a championship with. I want to be somewhere else. And he ends up in Boston, and it doesn't go well. And it goes pretty badly, in fact, for a couple of years. And then he lands in my backyard in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant. And to all kinds of circumstances that we do not need to relive or relitigate, it does not go well here in Brooklyn either. By the time the Mavericks traded for Kyrie Irving last year, there were very, very few teams in the NBA who really wanted to take a chance on him. And it was viewed as a risk, for sure. All that talent notwithstanding, and everybody acknowledges his talent and everybody admires his talent, but there was a risk because of his personality, because of things that had happened on court and off. And ever since getting to Dallas, Kyrie Irving has been, you know, damn near perfect as a player, as a teammate, as just a general citizen. There has been nothing really to complain about. There have been no red flags. There have been no distractions. And unlike all those years ago when he forced his way out of Cleveland, where it seemed like maybe he wasn't comfortable having to play the co-star role with LeBron, with somebody who was, you know, a bigger, brighter star, he seems comfortable with that now. More than that, like, you've seen even in this postseason run, there's times where it's like, he's got 9 or 10 assists and he's not scoring much, or he's got 12 assists and he's only scoring 9 points or whatever. There was a game like that just a week ago, I think, and that he's comfortable being in more of an opportunistic scorer, not needing to dominate the ball, not worrying about numbers. You know, his ego seems to have, kind of been tamped down over this time. And maybe those are just the lessons you learn after bouncing around for a little bit and realizing that the market has the bottom has fallen out for you. And like Kyrie himself, prior to his final season in Brooklyn on that media day, I remember him saying specifically that he didn't opt into free agency or pursue that route because he knew that there was really nothing out there for him. So he knew he needed to rehab himself, and he's done a fantastic job.
Howard Beck joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich. Before we turn to the series for which Brockman will keep a pail between his legs, what do the Nuggets need to do to stay competitive in the West?
It's getting tougher and tougher, Susie. We are certainly living in an era of incredible parity in the NBA. A few weeks from now, the NBA will crown its sixth different champion in a six-year stretch. That hasn't happened since the late 70s. And most teams that are winning the title are built around, you know, not multiple superstars. We are long past the superstar or the super team era. It's now, you know, usually one supreme star and a bunch of really well-calibrated role players around him, right? The Giannis Bucks were like that. The Kawhi Leonard Raptors were like that. The Jokic Nuggets are like that. All due respect to Jamal Murray, but he hasn't even made an all-star team yet. So your margin for error is a little bit thinner when it's one superstar plus a bunch of really good role players. And so, you know, we saw that with the Nuggets. There's obviously, a little bit of attrition too when just you've had a long season and played into June last year. There's all of that. The new CBA makes it really tough to retain talent and to keep paying or adding talent. And the Nuggets faced that last offseason when they lost Bruce Brown and Jeff Green to free agency. They didn't really have a bench to lean on. And Michael Malone mentioned that more than once, you know, over the last few days of the postseason and during the regular season even. So what do they do? They're not going to have a lot of tools at their disposal to add in free agency this summer unless guys want to come there for minimum contracts, which maybe, you know, playing with Jokic just is a lot of fun and gives you a chance to chase a title. So that could happen. The really interesting scenario would be, do you trade one of your core pieces? You know, Michael Porter Jr. is making a lot of money, 35 to 40 million over the next few years. And, you know, could you trade him for 2 to 3 pieces to help replenish the rotation? But they also have, you know, another looming concern, which is that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was the critical last piece of that starting lineup that they acquired before they won the championship, he can opt out in this summer and almost certainly will. And he's a great 3-and-D player who's won championships with two different teams and who's going to be, you know, heavily pursued and recruited. So if they lose KCP, they're going to have an even tougher uphill battle than what you're alluding to right now. But it's going to be tough regardless because Dallas isn't going anywhere. Minnesota's not going anywhere. The Oklahoma City Thunder, who the Mavericks beat, they're very, very young and only getting better and with plenty of flexibility to keep building. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for the Nuggets.
The Ringer's Howard Beck right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Boston hasn't won a championship in 15 years. And before that, the last time they won one, I was a freshman in high school in Boston. Is this the year?
It very well could be. I think we've all had them pegged as the Eastern Conference champion since, you know, July. So if they falter now against a Pacers team that was a sixth seed and that is young and that was not even expected to be anywhere near this deep in the postseason, that would be a colossal failure. The question has always been, if the Celtics get to the finals, were they going to be good enough to beat the Denver Nuggets? Well, that problem is solved. Are they going to be good enough to beat the Timberwolves or the Mavericks? I think they could match up well with both of them. And I think if Kristaps Porzingis gets healthy some point during the course of the conference finals and is ready to play in the finals, I think the Celtics are going to be an incredibly tough opponent for either of the Western Conference teams. But I don't know, Susie. I really don't know. The Celtics, this is their sixth conference finals in the last, I think, 8 years, which is incredible. It is the most successful overall run of any team and the most consistent by far. And that Tatum and Brown tandem has been incredible at their best. But they have these like glitches at times, right? Sometimes it's a quarter, sometimes it's a game, sometimes it's a series. And they, you know, I think everybody kind of looks at them with admiration for their talent and everything that they've done, but with a little bit of skepticism or suspicion because they have these untimely pratfalls. They had more talent than the Warriors 2 years ago in the finals and by, you know, a lot of measures, maybe should have won that series. And now they're a little bit older. They're a little more experienced. They're a little bit, I think, deeper and better built. And especially if they have Porzingis, they will be in much better shape to try to win a championship in a couple weeks than they were 2 years ago.
Hey, Howard, I'm a Celtics fan, so I watch these games with frustration and, you know, anticipation. Like you said, they do a lot of dumb things. They give a lot of games away, kind of careless the way they play at times. What is the opinion of Joe Mazzulla? Do you think he's done a great job? Does he get enough credit because he's kind of coaching a quote-unquote super team? What is your assessment of him in year two?
Mazzulla's in an interesting spot, right? Because, you know, as we know, two summers ago, he's thrust into the spotlight into this job when Ime Udoka had to step down, and he didn't have, you know, much in the way of experience at the NBA level or period. And it was a bumpy, I think, first year for him. And I'm sure you, like a lot of Celtics fans, were ready to throw him overboard at times. I think he's acquitted himself really well in year two. He's more comfortable. He has, I think, managed, you know, a rotation that is filled with talent, right? It's not a super team by traditional standards, but two stars, a bunch of other guys who have been stars or have star capability. And I think he's managed it all really well. I think he's grown into the role. I think that he could probably stand to be a little bit more, I don't know, loose, personable in his interactions with the media, because I think part of the tension or the skepticism of him has been that the way he presents sometimes is a little uptight and very self-serious. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily matter for a head coach, but, you know, public relations kind of matters too. Messaging matters. And I think people, when they see that, they wonder, well, my God, if you feel this uptight in your press conferences, what are you like in the locker room? And so, you know, I think it also is a case where when you're young and in that job and in that role with all the pressure and all the expectations and spotlight that comes with that job in particular, it's also understandable. And I think it takes time to get comfortable enough in yourself and in that role to maybe let your guard down a little bit.
Well, and you're following up Ime, who I always said he was the toughest player on the team, and he was the head coach, you know, and he wasn't exactly Mr. Nice Guy.
Susie Schuster and I covered Ime Udoka in Laker training camp about 100 years ago, so there's that.
I mean, we covered a lot of crazy stories together. How many do we have that were like, we had some good JJ, we had some good JR Ryder stories. We had a lot of weird stuff going on when we covered the team. Speaking of which, the headlines out here are the saying that LeBron is not involved in the Lakers head coaching search. Who are we kidding, right? That's like ridiculous, right? Of course he is.
You know, there's a lot of wiggle room in there. You know, what does not involved mean? You know, all right, he's probably not in Rob Pelinka's office, like, putting names on the dry erase board, but...
No, he has a button that he presses, and he probably shows up like a Jetsons, like on the screen in Rob Pelinka's office. Who are we kidding?
I like the idea of like hologram LeBron just kind of pops in every so often.
100%. Rob, LeBron is on the hologram.
I think it would be ludicrous to think in today's NBA, with as much power as superstars have and have deserved most of the time, that you're not at least making a call and consulting. Like, before Rob Pelinka makes his list of finalists, it would be foolish not to at least, if not talk to LeBron directly, then at least to talk to the people who talk to LeBron and get a feel for, you know, somebody, because you don't want to hire somebody who he's absolutely opposed to or absolutely has no respect for. You don't necessarily need to choose somebody at LeBron's request either, but the idea that he's not involved at all, yeah, certainly strains credulity.
TJ?
Hey, Howard, what's up? I'm a Sixers fan and I'm a Clippers fan, so it's not always that great for me. So I don't want to talk about both of them right now. I'm going to specify the Sixers. They got almost $59 million in cap space next year, right? What's the word, man? Can you help me feel good about this offseason? Who can you see the Sixers signing to help Embiid and Maxey go to the next level?
Admittedly, I have not dug that deep into it yet, but it's funny that your combination of teams, it's the Sixers and Clippers, who the Sixers might want to be poaching a star from.
Right.
Outside of the Paul George scenario, it's a little difficult. You know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who I mentioned earlier, would be a fantastic addition to the Sixers. He'd be a fantastic addition just about anywhere. And I think the one thing to keep an eye on, you know, Daryl Morey's pretty shrewd about this stuff, and he knows as well as anybody, we haven't seen a lot of superstars or even second-tier stars change teams in free agency in recent years. Most of those changes have been via forced trades. We are in an environment where, again, as I alluded to earlier, the new CBA that kicked in a year ago and more of those restrictions have kicked in since makes it really tough for the high spenders to keep spending. And so teams are going to have to probably shed salary. And when you have cap room, when you're one of the few teams below the cap, and by a lot in the case of the Sixers, you can make unbalanced trades in terms of the salary cap. You can acquire a lot of salary. So I suspect, and I have not asked, but I suspect that the Sixers are thinking, yeah, let's go chase Paul George or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or whoever else may be a top tier or second tier free agent or a combination thereof. But we're also going to see an offseason here, I think, where teams are going to be forced to shed players that they would rather keep. And the Sixers will be in a great position to say, hey, we are your cap relief. You know, we've got, you know, a couple of smaller, you know, contracts to send you or some picks or whatever it may be. And I will say with some confidence, I don't like predictions, but I will predict with some confidence that by mid-July, the Sixers will have restocked pretty well around Embiid and Maxey. I don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be somebody.
So I should hold out hope then?
You should hold out hope for the Sixers. I don't know what to think about your Clippers, especially if your Sixers get your Clippers' second best player.
We'll save that for the next time you call in, Howard.
I got one last Lakers question. It's such a weird question. Do you think people even want that job the way they used to want that job? It comes with a little bit of a headache. Don't you think? I think it's a really complicated question.
Susie, I think it goes back to the old cliche that you and I have heard 8 billion times, which is that there's only 30 of these jobs, and the Lakers among those jobs is, even in the worst of times, and this is definitely not the worst of times, right? Like, they've had some really rough periods. But even in the worst of times, the Lakers' job is the Lakers' job. It is still a glamour team in a glamour city. And, yeah, it comes with a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny. And it comes with the knowledge that the last couple of coaches have not lasted very long. One of them, despite winning a championship, Frank Vogel. So, you know, you go in eyes wide open if you're taking that job, of course. And you get whatever assurances you can. But I will say this. I have much more concern for the Lakers in terms of what they do with the roster than what they do at the head coaching spot. Mm-hmm. I think Darvin Ham, for any flaws that people will point to, and I know Laker fans will point to many, Darvin Ham was a perfectly capable coach. Frank Vogel was a clearly capable coach and won them a championship. That they both got fired is at least in large part due to the fact that the Lakers did not sustain the championship core that they had around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And so I have much more concern with the way the front office has operated over the last few years, both with regard to coaches and with regard to roster building, than I do with who's going to ultimately sit in that seat and draw up plays.
Yep. Yep. I hear you. Howard, thank you again for your time. Love having you on as always.
Susie, always a pleasure. Say hi to Rich for me.
I will do that indeed. Doesn't Howard look like he's at a rave somewhere, by the way, in the background? He's about to head out clubbing for the night.
I assure you I'm not.
I only wish he would. Let's take a break. When we come back, we've got to do more win-loss. I mean, I've got all these great people holding on.
Win-loss.
So win-loss when you come back. Let's go to break. Who's up first?
This Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate our members who go above and beyond every single day. That's why we thought you might want to hear some special thank you messages from your friends and family.
I want to give a shout out to my brother AZ1, Archie Castillo.
Hi, I want to give a shout out to my friend Colin, who's currently serving in the Army. Thanks for all you do. Happy Military Appreciation Month.
And from all of us here, happy Military Appreciation Month. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started Wesley Financial Group to do one thing, help people get out of their timeshare nightmare. When you buy a timeshare, the timeshare company can raise your annual maintenance fees at will. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Want out of your timeshare? Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath. Fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hey, John.
Yes, Steph?
It's Tuesday, and we're still selling lots of cars.
Of course we sell lots of cars. At Findlay Toyota, we make purchasing a car super easy. From the moment the customer arrives, they are greeted by our amazing staff. Or if it's service they need, one of our top-notch service specialists will take over and manage their repair from start to finish in our state-of-the-art facility. Also here at Findlay Toyota...
Yeah. Of course, but on a Tuesday?
That's right, Steph. At Findlay Toyota, we sell the most cars every day of the week, even on a Tuesday.
Turkey bacon avocado. Turkey bacon avocado. Turkey bacon avocado. Need we say more? PortaSub's turkey bacon avocado sub will be your new obsession with its next level flavor. Sliced fresh premium turkey with crispy bacon and creamy avocado on your choice of fresh baked bread. Loaded with your favorite toppings. Try it with our garlic parmesan bread for an extreme wow. Get your TBA at PortaSub's today or order online at PortaSubs.com.
Sliced fresh sandwiches.
Modelo is an official cerveza of the Las Vegas Raiders and the JT the Brick Show. Modelo Especial is a rich, full-flavored Pilsner-style lager, delivering a crisp, refreshing taste, brewed with fighting spirit since 1925.
Welcome to the Chevy Lightning Round. Guess the clues to win. First team, you're up.
Powerful, commanding, unstoppable.
Silverado.
Adventurous, fun. Techie.
Trailblazer.
Stylish. Nimble.
Tracks.